Our sermon text tonight is Psalm 61. We've been going through the Psalms together, and so Psalm 61. So it's been quite a while, but hopefully it's been profitable. We're trying to see here in the Psalms, especially how they point us to Jesus, and then out of Christ, being joined to Him, how to pray. Psalm 61 is a beautiful prayer, and it begins this way. Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer. From the end of the earth I call to you. When my heart is faint, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the enemy. Let me dwell in your tent forever. Let me take refuge under the shelter of your wings. For you, O God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. Prolong the life of the king. May his years endure to all generations. May he be enthroned forever before God. Appoint steadfast love and faithfulness to watch over him. So will I ever sing praises to your name as I perform my vows day after day. People are so interesting, as you know. One of the things I've learned about people is what drives them to live where they live. Ooh. What drives them to live where they live? And that includes myself. As a native, I'm as SoCal as they come, as many of you are, through and through Southern Californians, SoCalers. This morning before we were praying just in the room down below, I said it was cold. I said it was cold, and Brother Chris said I'm a typical Californian. I can only live between 70, I think he said 73 and 73 and a half degrees. That's kind of the place in which my happy place. I used to think, why would anyone want to live anywhere else? Especially where it's freezing cold. But I've learned that people live where they live because that's where they're from. That's where their families are, where their friends are, but especially because that's home to them. That's the cozy feeling of home. People want to live where it's like home to them. One commentator described this psalm, Psalm 61, very very basically by saying it's one of the simplest and easiest prayers of the entire Psalter. And the simple message here is David's prayer of longing for home. He's far away. He's somewhere. We're not told exactly where, but he's somewhere. He's not in Jerusalem. He's not where his palace was. He's not near the tents where he could go and pray and have the priests pray and sacrifice on his behalf. He longed for home. He wanted to be back where he was from. Probably the context, Psalm 60 we saw last Sunday, he's somewhere out in the Edomite desert to the south and fighting these battles and not going so well. We saw that God himself was afflicting the Israelites. He is longing for home. He wants to be back where he's from and where he knows the Lord has placed him. Our Lord Jesus, we've been seeing as well in the Psalter, the Lord Jesus Christ also prayed these psalms, and he did so prophetically. Our Lord Jesus, the Son of God, prayed through David in Psalm 61 in a way that David expresses his own prayers, his own longings, but also prophetically speaks forward of the coming of the Son in human flesh. And so I want to think, first of all, tonight about how this prayer in Psalm 61 proclaims to us the promise of Jesus. And really what you see there is that while he's humbled here on earth in his human flesh, our glorious Lord was far away from his home in heaven in glory. And we can feel here, I've mentioned before, the Gospels, they hint at the internal life, the heart life of our Lord, the mental life of Jesus, but mostly they give us an account of his life. The Psalms give us that innermost sense of our Lord in his human flesh, what it meant to be human. And we feel his heartfelt prayers here as the incarnate Lord, Jesus. And we can be so tempted to think that Jesus as God, therefore, didn't have feelings. We tempted to think that way. That as God, he didn't have feelings. Or maybe we say he had feelings, but he didn't have my feelings. The feelings that you and I have as weak humans. But never forget that the Son took to himself a true human nature, and he was tempted as we have been tempted, we are being tempted, we always will be tempted until the glory, yet without sin. He knew what it was like to experience human joy at its highest level. He experienced sorrow. He experienced exuberance. He experienced loneliness. We can feel that here in Psalm 61. We feel his heart. Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer. And he felt that way because he was praying, notice verse 2, from the end of the earth. From the end of the earth I call to you. Children, if your mom or your dad go away on a trip and someone says, they're at the other end of the earth, where are they? They're far away. They're far away. And as far as you're concerned, they're as far away as you can humanly possibly get. The other end of the earth. They're really far away. Jesus felt that distance. Cries out, as it were, from the end of the earth. Distant from his Father as the incarnate Son. And we read in Hebrews, for example, Hebrews 5, that in the days of his flesh, the Son of God in human flesh, our Lord, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. We feel his heart. We feel his sense of distance from glory. And in that distance, he cried out, I call to you when my heart is faint. Again, verse 2. We're getting a sense in the psalm, the feelings, the turmoil in his heart, the feeling of distance from the Father. This is, an Old Testament longing for what we see in John 17, which is that so-called high priestly prayer of Jesus, where he longed, as John 17 says, long for the Father to glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Glorify me, Jesus prays in John 17, in your own presence, with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. Yeah, that pre-incarnate, that pre-temporal glory with the Father and the Spirit. He had it, but he set it aside and became humbled for us in his state of humiliation and his incarnation. And he longed to have that glory once again, to be with his Father face to face, even in his glorified human flesh. And in his distant feeling from his Father while his enemies plotted his death, he cries out again in verse 2, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And maybe as you've driven along Coast Highway, I think they're all along Coast Highway, but at least in Oceanside, there are these blue signs all along the street posting a tsunami evacuation route. Maybe you've seen those. Where are they pointing to? Kids, if there's a tsunami, a gigantic wave of water from the ocean, which is just right there, where should you go? Where should you go? Higher ground, right? Tsunami evacuation route. Go Coast Highway, go to Oceanside Boulevard. Not quite sure how much higher ground that really is, but get away, right? Get away, run away from the water. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. High ground. The Lord here praying prophetically to be above the fray, to be away from the strife and struggle of this life, this world. He wants to be in glory again. And it's interesting here, as we've been seeing the connection between various psalms, just really quick here to mention, you see the connection between Psalm 60 and 61. I mentioned that the headings themselves where David's fighting these battles, and no doubt in Psalm 61 it's connected to that, feeling distant from God because he's losing these battles. But also you see in Psalm 60, verse number 9, when he prayed, who will bring me to the fortified city? Notice, though, that verb bring there in Psalm 60, verse 9. It's the same verb that's used here, lead. Verse 2 of Psalm 61, lead me to the rock. And it's also interesting when he cries out in Psalm 60, verse 9, who will bring me to the fortified city? The fortified city. It's this word, the word that's used here for rock. Let me the rock that is higher than I. It's a homonym. It sounds like this word for fortified city. There's connection between the Psalms, and so he wants to be in this stronghold, this strong tower, this high place from all the waves below. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Now, thankfully, for our sake, the Lord also prayed in his in that Garden of Gethsemane, not my will, but thine be done. He wasn't immediately transported away from the troubles of life, but for our sakes, underwent those troubles, bore them for us, took them for our sakes to bring us back to the Father, to bring us into communion with him. And so he prays in verse 3, does Jesus, for you've been my refuge, a strong tower against the enemy. He longed for glory. He longed for glory. And so he prayed, notice, he prayed to dwell close to his Father. In that glory. Verse 4, let me dwell in your tent forever. Let me take refuge under the shelter of your wings. Now, in David's time, David is praying about the earthly tent we call the tabernacle, which would later become the temple, God's dwelling place, God's house. But it was only a type and a shadow, a picture of the dwelling of God himself. That's why we read, for example, when Moses meets with God on Mount Sinai and God gives him directions for the tabernacle, God says this in Exodus 25, to build that tabernacle on earth exactly as I show you concerning the pattern of the tabernacle and all of its furniture, you shall make it. He sees a heavenly picture. He sees the heavenly blueprint, the reality itself. And he's to make the earthly tabernacle like that glorious heavenly tabernacle. And so Jesus is praying here prophetically to re-enter glory. And notice how he prays this for glory before it even happens. Notice verse 5. I mentioned this before, and the various verbs that are used, the tenses of the verbs that are used throughout the Psalter, praying things that are still yet to happen in the future as if they've already happened in the past. This prophetic perfect. To pray things that have yet to happen, but yet as if they happen with confidence. For you, O God, verse 5, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. He hasn't yet experienced that, but he's praying as if it has. That's how confident he is. What does it say about Jesus? Such was his confidence as the Son, that he could pray with his confidence that God had heard him, the Father had heard him, and that he would re-enter glory. But as the sinless substitute, the sinless Son, the incarnate Son, he praises especially. We sang from Psalm 15 tonight that who can dwell in the tents? Who can dwell in God's dwelling place, his house, in his very presence? It's the one who's perfect, whose hands are clean, whose mind is clean, whose words are clean, whose actions are clean, whose whole life is clean. That's the one, and that one alone is blessed. Jesus is praying here. The Son is praying here in a prophetic way that of the resurrection, the ascension, the session, the right sitting at the right hand of God. Notice in verse 6, prolong the life of the King. May his years endure to all generations. Speaking of the resurrection. David's speaking for earthly life to be prolonged, but that's just a type of the greater reality. May he be enthroned forever before God, verse 7. Notice that, enthroned forever. We read from 1 Kings chapter 1 tonight that Solomon was going to be anointed and set upon David's throne. Why? Because David's going to die. But David could pray prophetically that the king would be enthroned forever before God, appoint steadfast love and faithfulness to watch over him. Speaking of the resurrection, the ascension, the session at the right hand of God. And now he's there at the right hand of God. Now he's there in heaven. Now he's there in glory. He's no longer distant. He no longer feels the sense of longing and feeling as if he's far away at the end of the earth. Now he's in the very presence of God himself, face to face. And he's leading the choirs. He's leading the heavenly choirs, saying, so I will ever sing praises to your name, verse 8, as I perform my vows day after day. So this is a picture of Jesus. The wonderful promise of Jesus, who's yet to come. You know, we've been learning recently in our morning sermons through John, John 15, the last couple of Sunday mornings, especially last Sunday, where Jesus says in John 15, verse 4, "Abide in me as I abide in you." And I mentioned there's this wonderful mutual indwelling. We normally think about the Holy Spirit, even the Lord himself, residing within us, dwelling within us with the temple of the Holy Spirit. But there's a mutual indwelling and a union with the Lord himself. As Paul describes it, we're in him, we're in Christ. We are in Christ, and he's in us. That's why we are to abide, because he's in us. That's what vines do to the branch. Vines are attached to the branch. Dwell, remain, because you have life. And because we're in Jesus, we're in Christ, as Paul says, by faith, we can then live out of that by faith, in hope, with love. And so Psalm 61 speaks, the Son of God speaks through David of the incarnate Son, Jesus, but there's also a pattern here for us. There's a promise here of Jesus, and we rejoice in that, but because of what he's done, we can therefore pray. It's a pattern for us. Now, one big thing to note, just the overarching one big thing here from Psalm 61 is that you and I can feel distant from God. You see that there? Crying out, listen, I'm crying from the end of the earth, my heart's faint. We can feel distant from God, even as believers, with hearts that are fainting. And if the master felt that way, how much more so we, the servants? If the Lord felt that way, how much more so we, sinners? We can feel distant from God. In fact, one of our confessional writings, the Canons of Dort, tells us the reason why is because of our sins. When we fall into perpetual sin and even big sins, and we don't repent of those big sins or perpetual sins, we can feel separated from God. Even our faith can be interrupted. We can sense even fear. We can, for a time, feel as if he's forsaken us because of our own sin. And again, in Psalm 60, David is fighting these battles, and I mentioned just in passing last week that these particular struggles and battles that he fought, he did so without commandment from God, and he was trying to triumph like an earthly king, winning more territory, winning more battles, getting more money, more power, more influence, more prestige, more slaves. And God brought upon him a sense of distance for his sin. We can feel distant from God. The Lord felt that longing. I want to be back in the glory that I had with you before the world was. And we then can feel distant. Why? Why? The big question we're all going to ask ourselves is why? Why do I feel distant? Where is God when I feel distant? Where is he? The answer, according to verse 5, is that he's only a prayer away. When I was a kid, there was a commercial about, I think it was AT&T. I forget the slogan off the top of my head, but there was a commercial and a whole campaign about, you know, your loved one as far away in the country as they can possibly live, but they're just a phone call away. They're just a dial away. Kids, there used to be these things, you would, this little rotary phone, or you press a physical button, you call someone, and we can feel distant from God, but where is he? He's only a prayer away. Reach out and touch someone. There you go. Was that AT&T? Yeah, reach out and touch someone. Literally, touch the buttons, and you can talk to your friend, your loved one. You, O God, have heard my vow. Where is God when I feel distant? He's where he's always been. God has not actually abandoned David. He hasn't abandoned us. In fact, we're not actually on the other side of the earth from him, lost from him. We can feel that way, but we're not actually far from him. Kids, when you see outside on a cloudy day, you look up and you know the sun is there somewhere. But thick, dark clouds covering the sun up. You don't see the sun. You don't even feel the rays, the warmth of the sun. Hence my Southern Californian illustration, right? You don't feel it, you don't see it, but you know it's there. The same with God. He's not away from us. He hasn't abandoned us. We're not as far as the east and the west is from God. He's still there. You might be covered up by clouds, the clouds of our sins. We may not feel as if we can experience the rays of his grace, as it were, but he's there. Where is God when I feel distant? He's where he's always been on the throne in heaven. You, O God, have heard my vows. Now, the bigger question is as we look at the psalm and we think about ourselves, we can feel distant. When we feel that, where is God? Well, he's where he always is, and we can cry out to him in prayer. The bigger question is, how is it true for us that God hasn't actually abandoned us when we feel distant? How is it true that he's only a prayer away? You see, we once were far away from God, spiritually, relationally. You once were far off, the apostle says, meaning you once were apart from Christ. Not merely in a feeling sense, but in a relational sense. There was no connection other than God as the creator, and we're under his judgment. We once were far from God. But now, the apostle tells us, the New Testament says to us, you've been brought near. Near to what? Near to God. By the blood of Jesus Christ. You and I can pray then, Psalm 61, when we feel distant from God, even when we've sinned big against God, we can still pray this because the Lord himself has already drawn us near, brought us near to the Father. And having been brought near, even though we feel far away and distant, we are called by the Holy Spirit. We are called to Scripture itself, Hebrews 10, for example, to ever more closely draw near, to be closer to God, to feel closer to him. How? In praying, feeling close to him in fellowship through prayer. And so David is longing for home. The Lord was longing for glory, his true home. And we too. Can feel distant, feel far, but we too have that longing. We want to be where home is. Let's turn just for a moment to 2 Corinthians 5 as we close here. 2 Corinthians 5. I want you to see how what the psalm is describing, it's exactly what Paul's describing in a more full way here, fuller way in 2 Corinthians 5. Paul says this, speaking of this longing that we have to be home with the Lord. For we know that if the tent, that is our earthly home, describing our bodies, is destroyed, we die, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Notice the contrast there between temporary tents and eternal buildings and homes. Things that are transient, things that are eternal. For in this tent of our body we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling. If indeed by putting it on we may not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened. Not that we would be unclothed. He's not a Greek who believes that the body is the prison of the soul. No. But that we would be further clothed, that is, glorified in the presence of God. So that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee of home. So, he says, we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. The psalm cries out to us, and we cry out with it for home. And I pray the Lord would stir your heart to pray and to long for glory tonight. Let's pray. Merciful God, we thank you for giving us this wonderful little prayer tonight. To know that our Lord prayed, struggled to, longed to be in your presence, to be home. And Lord, we are so burdened by matters of this world, but fill our hearts tonight with a vision of heaven, glory, dwelling with you, to long for that more. Help us to pray, Lord, with a more eternal, heavenly perspective, and not merely for little things here and there, which matter, but yet to pray in a greater way, Lord, for the glory of God to be revealed and for us to see it face to face. And we pray this tonight in Jesus' name, and all of God's people say, Amen.